Let's pause. It's not just saying be good to good people. It's saying be upright, even with the corrupt. Why? Most people treat morality like a mirror. If you lie, I might lie. If you are unfair, I don't owe you fairness. But Imam Baqir alayhi salam flips the logic. He says, your principles are not conditional. Is someone corrupt? Still return their trust. Is someone a sinner or unjust? Still fulfill your promise. Did your parents fail in their duty? Still honor them. This isn't weakness, this is moral leadership. And it's not about them, it's about you. Who you choose to be when no one deserves it, that's who you truly are. Modern psychology backs this up. Studies show that when people betray their values, even as revenge, they suffer emotionally. Retaliation may feel good for a moment, but it often increases stress, guilt, and long-term resentment. In contrast, those who uphold their principles, especially in difficult relationships, tend to have a stronger self-respect, healthier boundaries, and greater resilience. As for honoring parents, even the difficult ones, it's not about enabling harm, it's about maintaining dignity, setting limits with kindness and refusing to become bitter or hateful and hurting them. So let's make this real. Someone immoral trusted you with a secret or possession. Don't betray it. That's your test, not theirs. You raise the answer for their actions later. And you promise someone something, and now you find out they are dishonest. Fulfill your word anyway. Why? Because you are not them. And your parents made serious mistakes. Islam doesn't ask you to accept injustice, but it does ask you to remain respectful. That might mean care with boundaries, not cruelly behaving or not cruelty in return. The Imam's words break the chain of reaction. He teaches us, don't mirror corruption, outshine it. The world says they don't deserve honesty or respect. Islam says, but you deserve to live with integrity. Even in a garden full of weeds, the flower still blooms on its own terms. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio. Glad you could join us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. The word Bismillah appears 114 times in the Quran. It occurs twice in Surah Naml, whereas Surah Tawbah is the only surah which doesn't begin with Bismillah. Quran believes in life after death. The Quran teaches us that besides having a body, a human being also has a spirit, a soul, and when a person dies, the physical body vanishes while the soul remains. We start this hour's programs with our radio productions feature. After that, we have Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries both near and afar. They will be followed by Let's Recite the Holy Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for the next hour.
Kerman is counted as one of the oldest cities, and it was founded as a defensive outpost with the name Veh Ardashir by Ardashir I, founder of the Sasanid Empire, in the 3rd century AD. Kerman was ruled by Turkmens, Arabs, and Mongols after the 7th century, and was expanded rapidly during the Safavid dynasty. When Marco Polo visited Kerman in 1271, it had become a major trade center linking the Persian Gulf with Khorasan and Central Asia.
Ganjali Khan was the governor of Kerman during the Safavid era. He ruled thousands of cities and towns from Fars province all the way to the city of Herat in today's Afghanistan. During his time, he built lots of public places in the city of Kerman, including this huge square, bazaar, mosque, and a public bath.
Kerman's Jame, or central mosque, is a part of the Muzaffari aggregate and was completed in 1345 AD. By Amir Mubarizuddin Muhammad Muzaffari Meybudi Yazdi. The mosque is one of the most ancient structures of the country and a remnant of the Iranian monarchs after the Alibuye dynasty. The mosque has a tall gateway in its eastern sector, and the same has been decorated with beautiful tile work. A clock tower aids in the enhancement of this entrance. The structure has been constructed in a symmetrical fashion and has a winter and summer porch.
Walking through dark and narrow halls to enter a huge and lighted area is a style in Islamic architecture of the Safavid era to give you the sense of joy and pleasure of entering a place like a public bath, which was not only for personal sanitation, but also for socializing, with people coming, sitting down, smoking hookah and pipe, and talking about social and political issues, or even finding husbands and wives for their kids, back in the old days style.
Built in the Safavid period, this courtyard is home to what was once Kerman's most important hammam, or bathhouse, the Hammam Ganjali Khan, now restored and transformed into a museum. With the conversion of the population of Iran to Islam, ritual purity through washing one's body became a requirement of religious life. Thenceforth, bathing became an integral part of life. Besides baths, were frequented not only for purity and hygienic reasons, but also for medical purposes. Physicians prescribed taking the waters against a great variety of ailments.
Whenever I get a chance to travel to different cities of this beautiful land of Iran, I definitely stop by the bazaar of that city. Not just for shopping, but for the whole experience. Experience of meeting people from different backgrounds, with different ethnicities, different ages, different dialects, and so on. Another part of this experience is the pleasant scent of the bazaar. Smells of colorful and different spices, dried fruits, and even dried dairy products. It's just amazing.
A review of Iran's economic and social history indicates that the bazaar has always been a pillar of civic foundations. No town could survive without the bazaar, whether big or small. Some have allegorically described bazaar as the economic heartbeat of the Iranian cities. The ancient Iranian bazaars have gradually evolved into an encompassing section of the town. A bazaar was not a secluded section of the town, but home to a wide spectrum of goods and services sought by the townspeople. Archaeologists could find proofs of the existence of a 6,000-year-old bazaar in a place called Khabis near Kerman, a place which is now called Shahdad. I know you definitely want to know more about Kerman, and I'm not finished exploring this city. So we'll see you soon in the next program about some other attractions of Kerman. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Heard the boastful Persian saying that art only belongs to Iranians. With their wide variety and color and patterns, and each motif and design specific to a particular region, Persian carpets are definitely something to boast about.
In Iran, carpets have always been both symbolic and practical. A popular design that is often used in this region is called Rizmahi, which means the little fish.
Quality craftsmanship is the name of the game, and the painstaking procedure of knotting, invented by ancient Persians, is a means to reflect a people's identity. It may take a group of up to 15 carpet weavers nearly a year to create the masterpieces that will be decorating the floors, giving any room warmth and style. Iranians are definitely the masters of weaving. Jajim, which is a kind of thick two-sided cloth, itself can be considered enough evidence to support the boastful statement that art only belongs to Iranians.
There was a time when jajim was considered a luxury item, but today it's used for making traditional handbags, something you can take back home as a souvenir from Iran.
Jajim is normally 2.5 meters long and 2 meters wide. And although its patterns may vary, the simpler and more common jajim includes stripes 1 to 5 centimeters wide of different colors. Sometimes to create a checkered pattern, colorful wraps are used. Traditionally, though, jajim is woven on a horizontal loom with colorful fine threads of wool and usually by a single weaver. Both sides of the jajim can be used, which is why it has become a multi-purpose article, often quilted and used as a cover or blanket, and sometimes even spread on the ground. The taste and talent of these people can also be seen through the designs of their earthenware. Pottery is perhaps the earliest and most important invention of mankind in Iran, dating back to the 7th millennium BC. In the small town of Khusf, not much has changed since the invention of the potter's wheel. Since
Symmetry is omnipresent in Persian craftsmanship. The detailed patterns of the 7,000-year-old art of marquetry are no exception. When it comes to decorating your home traditionally, wooden lattice doors and windows with stained glass are things you simply can't miss. The number of wooden pieces needed for each door is striking. It is usually beechwood or sycamore that is considered the best for refined carving at this level.
Woodwork like this dates back at least 1,500 years. Some historians say it even dates back to the Sassanid era. So I guess we have to admit that there's at least a little bit something to the Persian old saying that art only belongs to Iranians.
Gisumisha Ahmadi for Iran.
Cannot be locked up, it may not be tied up. We are flowing, don't give in. We are coming, don't give in. Love cannot be locked up. I miss you, my missed land, love. Of my homeland, all bright hope of Islam. I miss you, my wasteland. You are sacred and divine. Open your arms to welcome.
Masjid al-Aqsa, Laylatul Isra, Al-Quds lana.
Of Jalali, Tehran. Rubashavit Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
While presidents and leaders took the podium during the UNGA high-level week in New York, activists and demonstrators protested the UNGA debates as the people of Gaza continue to be ethnically cleansed by the Israeli occupation and the world remains watching. Banners condemning the UN's negligence towards preserving international law were held high among the crowd, alongside the complicity of the U.S. in the forced starvation of the Palestinian people and the sale of weapons to the occupation killing the Palestinians.
After 2 years of genocide, most of the world has come to realize that it is in fact a genocide, except the United States and Israel, of course. And the U.S. is, Trump is speaking today, which is a mockery of anything.
The protest today at the UN is mostly about the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu is down here, and there's going to be talks about how Israel and the U.S. are going to respond, which is most likely going to lead to full annexation of the West Bank. We are also protesting the fact that multiple states or multiple countries have now recognized a Palestinian state, which, while it is one step forward, is not full liberation. You know, you can't recognize that the knife is there without fully pulling it out and healing the wound.
As world leaders gather at the UN headquarters here in New York to discuss various issues, the urgency of Gaza's situation is highlighted by protesters surrounding the building. These protesters are demanding the protection of Palestinians. They are demanding the end of the Gaza siege and the liberation of Palestine.
Demonstrators also criticize the double standards and selective protection that the international body stands for when it comes to preaching about women's rights, but Palestine is often overlooked.
What kind of values do you stand for? Like you just said, there's pregnant women, there's babies being killed, there's no access to menstrual supplies. How can you be human if you're not letting these, if not letting aid in, not stopping the occupation? It's ridiculous.
It's all of our rights. It's women's rights, it's children's rights, it's human rights, it's really planet rights. Like, we're, by not protecting one community of people, we're really not protecting any of us, because it's a chain reaction. And when you fail to protect someone, you're really failing to protect yourself. And I think they have to remember that.
More protests are planned to occur for the length of the high-level week, calling for the freedom of Palestine from occupation and the preservation of the Palestinian identity. Rachel Hamdouin, New York.
Efforts at the international level to recognize and support a Palestinian state have been ongoing for the past 5 decades. These efforts have speeded up in recent weeks as Israel's intensified war on Gaza has prompted more countries to recognize Palestinian statehood.
These recognitions are the result of the blood of our sons and daughters in Gaza, their sacrifices, and the genocide taking place there. They would not have happened without the continuous struggle of our people.
Palestinians say the recognition alone is not enough without real international measures to bring an end to their suffering caused by Israel's occupation of their land.
Recognition must empower the Palestinian people to realize sovereignty and full national independence. Israel's membership in international bodies must be suspended, and concrete actions must be imposed to hold the occupying regime criminally accountable.
International acts of recognition of Palestine are seen by many as long overdue, but Palestinians insist these steps must be understood against backdrop of genocide in Gaza and the continuing struggle of thousands of prisoners.
Sadly, the world has shut its eyes and ears to the massacre in Gaza. It demands the release of 45 captives while ignoring tens of thousands of our prisoners, including my son. These double standards must end. The recognition comes in a natural context. Palestine has always existed, with or without recognition, and it will endure through the steadfastness and resistance of its people.
In 1974, the UN General Assembly granted the Palestinian Liberation Organization observer status. That was followed by the symbolic declaration of Palestinian statehood in Algeria in 1988. And in 2012, 138 countries recognized Palestine as an observer state of the UN General Assembly. Similar measures were taken in the years afterwards. Analysts, however, say the real priority today is not more declarations, but halting the genocide, ensuring accountability, and strengthening Palestinian resilience. What Palestinians need today is not more ceremonies or declarations, but a strategy that connects their sacrifices to real accountability, unity, and protection under international law. Recognition alone will not stop genocide or displacement. Naqa Hamid, Ramallah, Occupied West Bank.
Outside the Palestinian mission in London, history in the making. The iconic Palestinian flag raised, preceded by an impassioned speech by the country's ambassador, flanked by British politicians.
This moment is not only about Palestine. It is also about Britain and the British government's solemn responsibility. It is about ending the denial of the Palestinian people's inalienable right to freedom and self-determination. And it is an acknowledgement of a historic injustice.
The ceremony follows the UK's recognition of Palestine as a state, aligning Britain with more than 140 countries worldwide.
This is now officially the Palestinian embassy in London, the country's flag atop this pole for the first time since the UK's recognition of the country. It is a symbolic but powerful moment, the participants here say, one that affirms a nation's struggle for self-determination that has gone on for far too long.
But beyond symbolism, questions remain. With the genocide in Gaza ongoing, the West Bank under occupation, and Britain's continued arms sales to Israel, does recognition mean anything?
British government recognizes Palestine carries with it responsibilities. Responsibility not to supply arms to Israel. Responsibilities not to share military information with Israel. And a demand, which we will be intensively making, for full economic sanctions against Israel, including all trade embargoes, until the occupation ends.
In the run-up to the recognition announcement, a YouGov poll found less than half of Britons saying recognition was a good idea, while only 18% disagreed.
I can understand the skepticism and cynicism with the history of this whole area, so I can understand that completely. My role as a parliamentarian and the people that I represent, and which are the good people of this country, and millions of them, will now ensure that they utilize this position to take it to the next step.
At the same time, there are other voices in Britain, like those at this debate in Birmingham, who say while recognition was long overdue, the only way forward is one state, not two.
The two-state proposition is clearly a Zionist talking point. It's designed to kick the can down the road, to continually kick the can down the road, to never, ever be in a situation where such a notion could ever be brought into existence.
For supporters here, today is about hope, solidarity, and international legitimacy. For Palestinians under bombardment, it's a reminder that recognition alone is not liberation. Saeed Pourreza, London.
On Monday, hundreds of thousands of people flooded the streets of tens of Italian cities to express their solidarity with the Palestinians who have been suffering from indescribable horrors perpetrated by the Israeli regime. Rallies and demonstrations were held on the occasion of a 24-hour general strike involving the public and private sectors, called by a string of base unions. In a joint statement, the unions said the strike was against the genocide in Gaza and the Italian government's supply of weapons to Israel.
Cannot tolerate any longer the crimes that Netanyahu is committing against the Palestinian, and Italy's government is not only doing nothing to stop it, but it is an accomplice.
We said it many times already that we firemen are also UN ambassadors, as you can see from the UNICEF tag on our uniform, and we cannot remain silent in the face of the slaughter of children in Palestine.
Hundreds of thousands of Italians have taken to the streets to voice their outrage at the Italian government for its unconditional support
to the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Rallies in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians are being held in more than 80 cities and towns across the Italian peninsula and islands.
More than 100,000 people in the Italian capital, Rome, staged a demonstration near Central Station, while dockers in Genoa blocked access roads to the port as part of protests against the Israeli regime's ground offensive in Gaza City. Pro-Palestine rallies were also held in all major Italian cities, including Milan, Bologna, Naples, and Turin.
If our government acts as an accomplice in the face of the Gaza genocide, what sorts of future will lie ahead us?
A new large pro-Palestine demonstration is also slated to take place in Rome on October 4. Max Civili, Rome.
As Israel illegally and brutally invades Gaza City, a noise protest was held at the headquarters of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the powerful pro-Zionist lobbying group. Many are saying that the Holocaust occurring in Gaza City is a shocking new low in Israel's attempted genocide of the Palestinian people, and that immediate support for Palestine is needed to prevent the Western-backed invasion.
It's on the responsibility of everybody, whether you're Palestinian or Arab or American or whatever you may be all across the world, to come out and show a force in a united action to say that we reject all of these actions by the United States and every other Western complicit country that has allowed the genocide to go on for so long.
This week, Canada and Australia followed the leader of the English Commonwealth in finally recognizing a Palestinian state. But many say that it's an empty safety valve to manipulate their increasingly anti-Israel constituencies and to distract from the Gaza City takeover.
What is the recognition of a statehood if you're not going to actually stop the killing of our people and you're going to keep bankrolling the state of Israel to keep killing those people? There's no point in having a state if there's no people to live with it. And right now, the people of Gaza are being exterminated and being genocided. And so that's the need that we need to address, not just some fake statehood announcement by all these complicit countries.
This is definitely an attempt to try and silence the masses, to try and distract them from their original want and their demand of an arms embargo, and also try and protect themselves in their own image, because they could say, you know, oh, but we recognize the Palestinian state. But what does that mean for the actual people in Palestine when their land is being stolen every day, when there's still U.S. bombs being dropped from them, when the U.K. and Canada are still helping to send weapons?
What's next for Israel's genocide? It's being reported that aid officials working in Gaza have been warned against investing time or resources in the central refugee camps, which house hundreds of thousands of families, as they plan to invade the refugee camps after Gaza City.
After 6 weeks of fighting, some 300,000 Palestinians have left Gaza City, with nearly 1 million unwilling or unable to leave. Many say they know that if they do leave, Israel will steal their homes and not allow them to return. Ramin Mazahiri, Washington, D.C.
First ever wrestling double for Iran in Zagreb. Freestyle champions and now Greco-Roman wrestlers have sealed it early with a dominant show, bringing pride and joy back home.
After the glorious achievements of Iran's wrestlers, they have lifted the nation's spirit. We clearly see people's happiness in society. Everyone felt proud. Like that beautiful phrase printed on the wrestlers' singlets, "My life for Iran," with that same spirit, Iran's flag is truly precious to us.
Iran's Greco-Roman team, with a striking and dominant display, managed to secure their championship early, with 3 golds, 1 silver, and 1 bronze across 7-day categories. They sealed their victory a full day before the competition ended. Meanwhile, the freestyle team also shone, earning 2 golds, 2 silvers, and 3 bronzes to win the 2025 Zagreb Championship. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has also congratulated the victories of the Iranian wrestlers, saying, "I congratulate the young champions in Greco-Roman wrestling competitions. Steadfast determination of you and also your brothers in freestyle wrestling have brought honor to the country. I ask God for your continued success and victories, and I congratulate the athletes, coaches, and officials."
Wrestling runs deep in the culture of Iranian people. Its energy and passion are not just about today's victories. With the potential we have, more young athletes will definitely join the team, and even those training in the most remote corners of the country now have the chance to continue on their path of growth and progress.
The back-to-back victories mark a new chapter for Iranian wrestling, showing both strength on the mat and the promise of a new generation rising behind.
Iran's dominance on the mat is now undeniable, with both freestyle and Greco-Roman squads crowned world champions in Croatia. Ali Reza Akbari, Tehran.
NATO deployed three French fighter jets to eastern Poland on Friday as a so-called deterrent against Russia. Many analysts argue that it is the Western alliance's expansion that sparked the conflict in Ukraine. The European Commission has unveiled its 19th sanctions package targeting Moscow's energy, banking and high-tech sectors.
We are working on a new solution to finance Ukraine's defense efforts. This is based on the immobilized Russian assets. We must be very clear, this is Russia's war, and the perpetrator must pay for it.
But inside the European Parliament, critics warn that hard-pressed EU taxpayers are footing the bill.
The EU has spent 169 billion euros on the war so far, and the new seven-year budget would add another 100 billion euros. Up to 20% of the EU budget could go to Ukraine.
Some claim that one of the main beneficiaries of the war is the United States.
Socialismo.
We used to buy cheap energy from the Russians, and today we are spending 700 billion euros to buy that same energy from Washington. The EU has also failed on weapons, which we buy from the United States to give to Ukraine.
There's no doubt that natural gas sanctions imposed by Brussels have hit the EU much harder than Russia, leading to soaring European energy costs while Moscow was able to find alternative markets. Then, thanks to high global oil and gas prices, the Kremlin was able to offset the economic squeeze intended by the EU. Several of the EU's 27 government leaders are expected to oppose the bloc's latest sanctions package against Russia.
It remains hard to see how the European Union is going to respond because the member states remain divided over the issue. But 19 rounds of sanctions do not have the effect.
And a growing number of EU lawmakers are questioning double standards, asking why no tough measures have been imposed on Israel over its genocide in Gaza. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
الْقُرْآنُ نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ. الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ. الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners listening to IRIB English Radio right now from all over the world. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran and Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm Habibullah Fasihzadeh, together with brothers Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Muhammad Masum, right? So everyone is here. I really welcome you all. Inshallah, today we will be practicing two verses from Surah Ar-Ra'd, Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 28 and verse 29 on page 252. The bottom of the page, right?
And 53.
Yeah, top of the page. So this ayah 28 is the last ayah on page 252, and the ayah 29 is on the top part of page 253. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن.
Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ طُوبَى لَهُمْ وَحُسْنُ مَآبٍ.
Those who have believed and done righteous deeds, a good state is theirs and a good return.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. So, guys, verse 28. Allah Almighty says here, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Allah explains the people who were mentioned in the previous ayah, ayah 27. Look at the last part of ayah 27. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. Those who turn to Allah penitently. So who are they? They are الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are the people who have faith. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And their hearts find rest, find peace in the remembrance of Allah. Then Allah says, أَلَا. Oh, remember. Listen. The hearts find peace in Allah's remembrance. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Yeah? This yes. is a very beautiful ayah. This is a very beautiful ayah. Guys, sometimes I have seen, like I've watched the interviews of a lot of people. They are like millionaires, okay? They're so famous. They're so, they have a lot of money, rich. When the host asks him that, do you feel like you're a successful person? Do you feel like you have a happy life? Like no problems in your life? He says, no. Directly says, no. We don't have that happiness that we are looking for. And why is that? Does that, like, the money that they have, millions and billions of dollars that they have, that does not bring them that happiness? So I can give you this answer, that this money can give them a temporary enjoyment that we mentioned in ayah 26. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعُ. The money that they have gives them a short and temporary enjoyment. Alright? The paint house that they have, whatever. The villas that they have, whatever they have. They give them a short enjoyment. For example, I'm looking for to have my best building. Okay? So I go and I construct my tower. And it's over. I go live there. The highest amount of enjoyment that I can have is like for some months there. Then it will be something normal for me. Then I will be looking for something new. Something new. Okay, so that means that tower that you constructed did not bring you the happiness that you were looking for. You constructed that and you started living there, but still you feel like something is missing. Something is missing. Thank you so much. That's it. There are too many points. You need to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more about them. Let's practice the Tajweed points. Ma'asum, would you please recite the first ayah? Inshallah, the next ayah, Hassan will recite it to us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
What a voice. Nice. MashaAllah.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
أحسنتم. MashaAllah. Thank you so much. I really enjoy it. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. That was a nice recitation. Masma, I really enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed mine as well. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن. This is a bit tricky. Look, تطمئن. Say it, everyone.
تطمئن.
Oh, no, no. Tat, no.
Ta-ta.
Ahsantum. Ta-ta. Ta-ta. So, ta-ta. Ta-ta. This, it's a bit tricky, okay? Ta-ta. Some people replace the ta and ta. They say, tat. Tat ma'innul qulub. That's, wrong. Ta-ta ma'in. And noon has a shad. You have to, wait. Ta-ta. It has an echoing sound as well. That's called? قلقلة تطمئن تطمئن. Noon has got a shadda, so you have to extend the sound of noon. So remember, noon, whenever noon carries a shadda, whenever meme carries a shadda, these two letters, whenever they carry a shadda, you have to extend the sound and also pronounce them with a
nasal
sound. How do you do that, Hussein? Read it. تطمئن. See, the sound comes from your nose. It comes from your nose. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Next one, قلوبهم ends with a meme, that's ساكن. قلوبهم, meme ساكن. It's followed by the letter ب, بذكر الله. So whenever meme ساكن is followed by the letter ب, what rule is applied?
إخفاف ميم.
إخفاف ميم, mashallah. How do you say that?
قلوبهم
بذكر الله. So you could make a pause here because, let me ask Hassan, do I have to make a pause or I am allowed to make a pause or better to make a pause or better to continue? Which one?
It's the Yavqila that says it's better to make a pause.
Better to make a pause, but so I can continue, right?
Yes.
Better to make a pause. That's why Ma'asum made a pause here, okay. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُبِ. The same rules. Easy. So, Hassan, would you please recite the next ayah?
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
See, that was good, but you changed some of the letters. See, you said طوبى لهم حم وحسن مآب. You replaced ha with ha.
Yes.
So the first one is لهم ha, a soft one. Just breathe out. لهم. That one. Lahum. Okay? Not lahum. It's not lahum. It's not meat. Okay? Lahum in Arabic. Lahum. Lahum. Wahusnu ma'ab. This is ha. The one that you pronounce. The little pressure. Lahum. sorry, I'm saying that one. لهم وحسن مآب. Okay, I made the same mistake. Okay. الذين آمنوا. You say الذين آمنوا. آمنوا. No. This is Hamzatul. Hamzatul. قطع. So when you say Hamzatul قطع, you should give a cut. آمنوا. Okay, this sound should be there. الذين آمنوا وعين عملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب. حسن مآب. Okay, I will recite this ayah. Oh wait, the last point. مآبين. When you stop, how do you say that? Apply the rule قلقلة. مآب. Echo the sound. So I will recite these two verses. Listen and repeat, everyone. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Stay with IRB English Radio. Every day, inshallah, we'll be here with you talking about one of the verses of Surah Al-Ra'd and so on. That's it from us for today. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, and Muhammad Masum. Thank you so much for being with us. See you in the next session. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio Broadcasting from Tehran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with Youth Station, a program all about young people covering topics all related to youth. After that, we have Israel Watch. The program critically analyzes Zionist media reports about current events and issues in the West Asia region. And our final program this hour is for humanity, a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are presented in this program. Stay with us for the next hour.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth
Station.
This is Asma, and I'm so happy to be here.
And this is Masuma.
I hope wherever you are, you're doing well and everything is just fine with you.